Well, I'm amazed that Parramatta have taken him back. For Jared, I think it's just a miracle.
It's kind of like, you know, in The Lion King, when Simba comes back, and that's great for everyone. But in this case, it's more like Scar coming back.
Yeah,
it's like
right.
a fucked up Hamlet. Cameron Smith should be made to wear, I don't know, a really heavy headgear just to bring him back to the field.
I actually think Adam Reynolds is a great candidate to play in one of those Smokey Dawson chairs.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of The Voluntary Tackle.
I'm excited.
The only NRL podcast Peter Beattie can remember the name of. Today I'm joined by my partner in crime, the only man to escape the Chilean authorities without needing to offer a bribe.
Was not easy.
I bet it wasn't, mate. How did you end up in that escapade in South America to begin with?
I hid in an esky.
Okay.
Yeah, basically.
Were you trying to commit a crime or were you doing anything?
No, I just wanted to drink all the beer and I got locked in.
Okay. Well, yeah. I'm not even going to ask any more questions because I think it would just lead to less answers.
It goes downhill from there.
I could imagine. What did you make, Chip? Round one has obviously just happened and there's some very exciting games, a lot of upsets. How did you see it?
Oh, it was just great that the footy's back, I think. It was nice to see all the games rolling around at the end of the week, like usual, like it should be.
Absolutely. I find time goes faster when footy's on.
Oh, definitely.
I love it.
Those weeks stroll by, don't they?
I've already told my fiance I'll see her in about 8 months' time.
Okay, so you've
I've been up front with her.
Yeah.
Which is going to be weird because a wedding's in between now and then. So yeah. I'm
you don't
obviously
need
not
to be there for that.
Well, I mean, I'll call it in.
Yeah,
you know.
Just like I'll be there.
Depends
there
if it's a
spirit.
Local derby on or something.
Just be there in spirit.
Yeah.
You know, just drink a lot of them.
Maybe I can be on Skype.
Yeah, Skype wedding.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
But enough about my personal life, Chip. And the first game I want to talk about, we're both Roosters fans, so I think the listeners are probably going to gloat about this, but we're both gutted, aren't we? Because I think we probably supported the least interesting team on the last week.
Well, look, I think we had a great team. We just didn't have any forwards. We didn't actually bring any. I thought it would have been cool to actually have one or two.
I agree. We should have went in with a forward pack. The idea of going in without one, I think, was a high-risk strategy.
Even a half-eaten pack of chips.
It's just something.
It might have been a bit more grit.
Well, it certainly would have had more impact than Jared Rowera Hargraves.
Oh, it's like a wet paper bag that's already broken.
Remember last year he called out Taumalolo in that finals match and that didn't go down well? He sort of picked up where he left off, hasn't he?
Yeah, I don't know whether that double barrel name's slowing him down or something, but he's just, you know, not performing.
Poor old Jared, he's never been able to pronounce that one.
Bit of a rocket up him, I reckon, is needed. And Friend wasn't that great either, to be honest.
Yeah, we've had a bit of discussion off air. I'm not sure if our listeners agree, but I mean, I'm a huge fan of Drake Friend. I think he's been an amazing hooker for us. But in the last year or so, I have to concede, he has slowed down a bit.
And those forward passes from dummy half, like that's pretty elementary stuff. Like if you can't get the first pass right, you're going to struggle.
Yeah, and to be honest, and this is obviously without bias, but we got lucky not to have been picked up for the few more forwards in that game.
Well, funnily enough, there was a forward pass he threw like two or three tackles before the one they called. And I think the one that they did call was like actually... We can't let that one go from three tackles ago. We have to. Yeah, I thought Cooper Cronk played great. Very happy to see him there. I thought Tedesco would have been good if he could catch a ball.
It's a shame he really decked a sitter there, didn't
he? He kind of dropped what would have been a game-winning try. It was the first 5 minutes. Look, the Roosters were all over them for the first 10, 15 minutes, and they should have been up by like two tries, as has happened with them before. If they don't go up by a few tries early and the game wears on, they can go missing.
I get the sense that the Roosters just expected to turn up and grind the Tigers into the ground. And when that didn't happen, because the Tigers really stood up, I thought, in the forwards, we went, well, what do we do now? And they didn't have a lot of answers. They didn't really throw the ball around and they made a ton of errors.
A bit disappointing. And this goes down as a loss for us because we both picked the Roosters to win comfortably and they lost by two. So
it's not good. Well, let's do a quick tally here, Chip. Obviously, we put our tips in before round one. How did we fare? Who's ahead between us?
Oh, look, tough to say.
Well, is it?
I don't like to say.
It's close.
It's close. I'll say you're up by a game. Okay. Overall, we went okay. We did pick the Titans to win, and they did beat the Raiders in the end. What did you think of that game?
You know what? It was a really entertaining game. Like, if you were to sit down at a pub and watch that game, a lot of tries being scored, and it was great to watch. But I have to say, sitting back and watching that game, I felt like I was watching two teams that are definitely not going to be playing finals football.
Just no, the defence wasn't there, right?
100%. Yeah. Diabolical defence at times. It was like, you know, players running through a paper wall. So as entertaining as it was, and I was happy for the Titans, they both need to improve a lot.
Bit of a nothing couple of teams there, isn't it, really? They're just making the numbers up.
They're weird teams, Chip, because I think both have a lot of natural talent, but they're not consistent at all. Now, the Battle of the West, always a great clash between the Panthers and the Eels. Now, the Eels were fancied to win this game in 45-degree heat at the foot of the mountains, but it was the Panthers who prevailed.
Well, they were fancied by you, Adam,
the tipsters, mate, to be fair.
Well, call it how you like. And they didn't win. So I think you'll remember I put down a golden point because I knew it was going to be a near-run thing.
And let's just quickly refresh the listeners. This is where Chip refused to commit to a tip, which is unusual for a tipping comp.
It is, but it's also, you know, Jared Hayne was in the team. I've got to veto them.
I can't. So any team that Hayne plays for, you just ignore.
I can't really back him or back against them.
Well, I understand that.
He could be listening to this and just out of spite.
Probably.
He's either going to win or lose the game. So, you know, so they went down. But I thought it was a great game and a big comeback.
It was a big comeback, actually. I think they went extended. I think it was a 14-0 lead at one point to the Eels. And then they sort of wilted in the sun, a bit like a chocolate ice cream.
No one likes that wilted chocolate ice cream. No one likes that.
It curdles.
Let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on. Now, this is probably, I think, the scariest game in terms of finding out who a premiership threat is, Chip, because...
Let me guess.
No, go for it.
For some reason, I think you're talking about the Storm Bulldogs.
Correct, you are, mate. You're 100% correct. Now, I thought the interesting thing to come out of this game was that the Dogs brought their A game. They were a lot more inventive, you know, with the ball. Their attack was sort of on song, and yet they got belted by 18 points. Pretty ominous sign from the Melbourne Storm, Chip.
Look, you know, we've spoken about this a few times. To me... it really comes back to the coach. The coach is everything when you want to get that consistency. One thing I've got to say about the Storm Bulldogs game and the way the Storms start the season generally is their forwards are just so well drilled.
Mm.
They're just so good. They're very low mistake rate.
Yep.
They're really punching on. They can do a five hit up set. They're not going to drop the ball. They can play field position and then they can score from a kick return, for example. So,
this is the interesting thing about the Storm. You're quite right, Chip. That is the Melbourne Storm model, you know, very structured and low mistake rates. But what's kind of scary about the Storm last year and this year is that they're also the type of team now that can score from anywhere. They've got the best wingers in the game in Vunivalu and Josh Adokar. And now they've got Brody Croft coming in as well with Munster. It's just a nightmare to defend against these guys.
How do you stop them?
You all right?
Strong shit. Oh,
mate, settle down.
Yeah, all good.
Don't die on me, mate. Not mid-show.
Right thing. Wait till the end of the show, mate. Yeah.
Chip, another interesting one, and I think was a big deflating moment for a lot of Bunnies fans, is the other half of the doubleheader in Perth. They got their asses spanked by the Warriors over there. They were never really in the match. Very flat performance, much akin to the Roosters' performance, quite frankly. How did you see that game?
Oh, look, I was actually hoping that the Rabbits would show some form. And they really didn't have the muscle. They kind of, as you said, they weren't really ever in the game. I think the Warriors contained Inglis really well. He didn't look that dangerous to me. I don't know whether he's still recovering.
Yeah, definitely easing GI in. He played in the centres and his involvement rate wasn't high, but I think they're just sort of trying to warm him in.
Trying to get him running first, right?
Exactly.
Just get him mobile.
Yeah, for sure. Because, I mean, he's coming back from the worst kind of injury, the ACL and the knee, and that's never a nice thing to come back. On the flip side of the coin, you've got the Warriors, and, you know, as does tend to happen, a win for the Warriors and suddenly everyone starts talking them up. Yeah, I'd have to say they were playing a pretty ordinary team, and when you're ordinary against the Warriors, they will kill you.
Yeah, they are that kind of team, you're right, because they don't struggle for muscle.
No, they don't.
And intent.
And they're a confidence team. Once they get a roll, then suddenly they can just put 50 points on you.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think they do get a bit of belief and they become a lot more difficult to break them down. They're also, you know... In a game like that, their cover defence is hard to beat because they will scramble. And unless you go right through the middle, it can be tough to score points.
Yeah, I mean, they put plenty of great tries on. Sean Johnson was very strong, as was Tuivasa Sheck. Bit of a comeback game for him. He sort of had about a 12-month sabbatical in the wilderness over there. He had a pretty bad injury, and he's been low on form. So, well, it's interesting to see what happens to RTS this year. Really, another interesting game, Chip. We had the Cowboys take on the Sharks. Now, these guys are known for playing some pretty ugly games against each other. There's plenty of hate there. It was an ugly game, I have to say. They're clearly two competition heavyweights, but it was the Cowboys who prevailed by 6 points.
Yeah, well, you know, we were talking about the Sharks, and they have lost a lot of players. I think Gallen was shit as usual. Nothing exciting there. Slow. Not a lot of cognitive ability.
Very tree-like.
You know, you've got to wonder whether he's actually, you know, is he rooted?
I don't know. Is he getting a root?
I think he should leave.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you don't have to get into
sense. Branch out and leave, mate.
Chip is not a fan, although he's a fan of a good pun.
I do like a pun, and Gallen, I'm not even going to bother with you. Just fuck off.
Now, another really, probably the talking point of the round was the Knights versus Manly, Chip, and that was because of the redemption of one Mitchell Pearce, who is, as you know, a heavily maligned player, even on this very show. But he had quite a moment in the sun up there in Newcastle, kicking a winning field goal in Golden Point. What a moment for him.
Well, he has done a few of those over his career now, hasn't he? I think you'd probably find he'd be up there if you looked at match-winning field goals. He's kicked a few of those over the time.
But only in the last 12 months, really. I mean, he had a real bad reputation there for sort of missing them a lot.
Definitely. But he's had a lot of practice.
He's had a lot of practice missing them.
On the field, yeah. Losing. Yeah.
He should have practiced on his own time, but he decided to practice while he's wearing the tricolours.
This is true.
That's what made it so annoying for me, so vexing. But Mitchell Pearce has clearly been working on that, and last year he was very good. Half the Roosters team are up there in the Knights. Should Bondi also celebrate that win in a weird way?
Definitely not. Okay. No, I think that, you know, Trent Robinson obviously listens to this podcast religiously.
G'day, Trent.
Picks up a lot from... Mate, I would say g'day, but pull your fucking head in, mate. Like, you know...
We're not happy with you.
We're not happy. You've sold the teams that won the last game to Newcastle. Sorry, you've sold the players that went on to win the game. And, mate, where are the forwards? Newcastle got all their forwards. How was their go forward, did you think?
It was pretty good.
It was pretty good, wasn't it, Eamon?
Yeah, it was.
They rolled on. They weren't amazing, but they were considerably better than the fucking crap the Roosters put out there.
No, I think we were the worst performed team of the round, unfortunately. But I do predict a bit of a bounce back, I think, next week against the Bulldogs. The final game, mate, Dragons, they really showed up the Broncos. And we'll have to say here, it was a voluntary tackle first. We're going to call it that anyway. But we definitely predicted between the two of us that the Broncos would struggle and the Dragons would move, and this game seemed to bear that out.
Well, this is the only game, I think, unless I'm mistaken, that we tipped different teams.
Oh, okay. Have I got that wrong, have I?
You tipped... No, we were both tipping a close game, but you tipped the Dragons by 6 and I tipped Brisbane by 2.
Ben Hunt up against his former club, and he was the man that took an intercept and a pretty decisive moment in the game.
Isn't it great when you bring a player in and first game of the round you play the team you used to play for and you catch the ball? Isn't that great?
It's nice, isn't
it? You actually caught a ball and scored a try.
Absolutely.
You know, I think that's fantastic.
I think
Tedesco.
Teddy will improve, mate.
Mate, listen, you catch the ball, you win the game.
Now, Chip, as you're aware, the New Zealand Warriors are sort of notoriously bad at starting the season and then improving during origin period and then fading towards the end of the year. This year, however, they managed to knock over the Bunnies in round one over in Perth, leading many people to start talking up their season. Now, the voluntary tackle has obtained a leaked tape out of the winning dressing sheds of the New Zealand Warriors. Here's a sample.
Can't wait to hold that premiership, bro. I can taste it already, eh?
The season's just started though, mate. You can't be thinking premiership already.
Of course I am, bro. We just started off the year by winning one in a row, you doofy shit. The premiership's practically ours.
Long way between now and finals, though.
Yeah, a lot of winning ahead. It's going to be pretty fun, eh, bro?
What about finals, though? That's much harder.
It'll just be like well run, bro. Don't overthink it.
Mate, I've got to say, it sounds like you're getting way too ahead of yourself.
Ah, sorry, bro. Can't hear you. Dave Dobbin's on. I've got to go dance and get pissed to some classic NZ tunes, eh? Catch you at the Prezzo in October, bro. Hey, everyone. The last one to piss on Blake Ashford's a dodo bird. Yeah!
Chip, there was another topic that caught our eye, and it was to do with the Cowboys Shark. Now, they have a bit of a rivalry, these two teams, but I thought this was a bit out of line. Now, the Cowboys actually won this game, but it didn't stop them complaining and whinging about the Sharks team going too hard on Matt Scott.
What does too hard mean? Well, like, what does going too hard actually imply?
It means nothing in league, because you've got to go as hard as you can.
Oh, there were
you?
Too many good tackles.
They went at my legs, sir.
Isn't
that what you're supposed to do?
Not really feeling that complaint at all.
I'm not feeling it as well. And it made us think, didn't it, Chip, that here at the Voluntary Tackle, maybe we can come up with some ideas for the Cowboys just to sort of make it a bit more like Nerf footy, you know, a little bit safer
for them. Softer. Maybe we could get some extra padding.
Exactly. So what kind of padding could strapped to Matt Scott?
We could borrow from the American football side.
Yeah.
Maybe get him a helmet.
We get him a lot of that bubble wrap.
Maybe we could put
bubble wrap all over him and then glad wrap him.
Yeah, he'd be bouncing off everyone. I think the problem then is...
He'd heat up quick, wouldn't he?
Yeah, and you struggle to get up and play it when everyone's trying to pop all the bubbles.
That's true.
You know,
Once you get
a few, because you do a good tackle and you hear this pop, 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 pop.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, great. And then another mate jumps on, pop, 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 pop.
Crowd would get very disinterested pretty quickly because there'd be no footy being played. It would just be people stomping on Matt Scott.
Plus, you're not going to hear that sound from the bleachers.
It strikes me that potentially they could play in maybe those big Zorb balls. You know, those things?
Now, wouldn't that be a good idea?
That'd
maybe we could have Zorb footy.
Yes.
It'd be absorbing.
Well, would it? I mean, there'd be no great hits because no one could get hurt. But the Cowboys would be happy because apparently they don't like being hurt.
Well, it might help them, but you never know. Someone might Zorb into them a bit nastily. And
they might bruise their thumb in the Zorb ball.
Yeah, there might be a point of contact that they really don't feel is appropriate.
Yep.
Yeah, I was surprised that they won and then complained. See, that's what's strange for me, isn't it? Like, if you'd lost, like, I get it. Bellamy complains whenever they lose.
Absolutely.
Which is very rare.
He just complains about life.
I mean, he loves to complain.
Yeah.
And I think that's partly why the players play so hard for him.
If Bellamy didn't complain, he'd drop dead. Because, I mean, it's his raison d'etre, isn't it? It's what
he'd have some pretty serious withdrawals.
It strikes me as well, Chip, that the Cowboys might benefit from having a particularly sturdy covering for their collective vaginas. Todd Carney. Now, there's been a lot of news around Todd Carney potentially coming back to the NRL and playing for the North Queensland Cowboys. And a lot of people aren't happy about it because the NRL's trying to clean up their image and whatnot. How do you see this? Has Todd paid his penance? Should he be allowed back?
No, not really.
Okay, that's a very short, succinct answer.
No, I don't think so. I think the thing with Todd Carney is he's had so many chances at so many clubs.
Well, he's only had 17, to be fair.
Yeah.
He hasn't topped 20.
Well, if you've gone 17, that's 17 different teams that were hoping that you'd help.
Yes.
And you didn't.
And you didn't.
And you didn't.
That's so 17 separate police chases.
Even if he was to help the 18th team he played for, that's still a rip-off.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we better cut our losses, really, because, the
is
next...
Is there a chance he could reform, though? I mean, does a leopard ever change its spots? Maybe Todd Carney will come back and he'll be, some kind of straighty 180, post-career accountant.
Yeah, I just don't see those tats helping him in the accountancy office.
He would never do my tats.
If you've got a... If you don't have a calculator, you're counting your fingers and toes and trying to work out, which column I've got to write my name in and all that kind of stuff.
Well, he's done that plenty of times on parole forms.
Yeah, I initially thought he might be a bit of a criminal mastermind trying to play, the system, but he's actually stupid.
He's just a criminal. Just drop the mastermind because masterminds generally don't get caught. That's the big issue we've told. He's been arrested a number of times. In fact, he seems to just run into police officers. Just serendipitously, it's like that time he got done DUI after drinking the night before and he got DUI'd at 6 a.m. in the morning because he was so pissed from the previous night. He's actually unlucky on that occasion,
was that the night after he left his mate in the car and ran from the police and got off while his mate got arrested?
Yeah, no, that happened when he was playing for the Raiders. I love that story. The story where he led the police on a lengthy police chase, went down a dead-end alley, cut a long story short, jumped out of the car, hopped over a fence and ran away. His mate, who hadn't been drinking, got arrested, and he also played for the Raiders.
For what?
For just being there.
For just being
Carney's mate.
Basically.
Yeah.
Clearly, mate, you haven't been drinking. Hang on a minute. This is Todd Carney's car, isn't it? Yes, it is, officer. Mate, clearly you're a cunt. Jump out of the car, mate. You're gone.
Now, Chip, as much as we like to deride Todd Carney for his criminal past, our podcast has actually put together a bit of an ode to Todd Carney's path of redemption.
Hey there, Todd Carney, what's it like in Salford City? Feels like 1,000 miles away, bet you want to spray your penis with graffiti. Yes, you do. Oh, Todd, you know that shit is true. Nothing you wouldn't do. Hey there, Todd Carney, don't you worry about the contract. I've had a chat with Chief Todd Greenberg. Drinking your own piss is a legal sex act. You'll be alright. Have a chat to Greeny and wear navy and white. Just don't set him alight. Oh, why did you drink your pee? You missed out on so much league. Oh, why did you steal that Jeep? Then drive at speed into a tree. A classic crime spree. Hey there, Todd Carney, I know times are getting hard. You're down to your 14th rugby league club. You're called a handicapped boy, a retard, shit ain't good. It's like growing up in Chatswood, or being Dallas Hood. Hey there, Todd Carney, there's just not much left to say. If only this song that I wrote you could take your list of crimes away, I'd write some more. I'd even pay off all your whores. You'd have it all. Oh, why did you drink your pee and burn a man's balls on New Year's Eve? Oh, why did you steal that Jeep and do so much weird shit to that sheep? It's fucking creepy.
Welcome back to the Voluntary Tackle. Now, obviously, the Roosters, Chip, don't have Mitchell Pearce anymore. And he had a great time up there in the Knights. He had the winning feeling whilst the Roosters, suffered a pretty bitter defeat. I'm just wondering, because Roosters fans are so accustomed to blaming Pearce for all of their losses, should they still blame Pearce for this one? Because it feels wrong not to.
Well, I mean, look, to be fair, I think Cronk still had a better game than Pearce did.
That's true.
I think...
Take that shit, Mitch.
Yeah, I think, if Cronk had been playing for the Knights, for example, I think they might not have had to go to Golden Point. And I do see, perhaps, that the Roosters might not have been as close had Mitch maybe been there. But that's conjecture.
Yep.
I think what's really going to bother the Roosters fans more than anything is just the amount of drop ball. The amount of uncompleted plays mixed with the really unadventurous football.
It wasn't good. Whilst Mitch, on the other hand, it was quite an exciting game, a lot of lateral movement, and you got to be the hero up there. Now, there was, a bit of a coded jibe from Mitch Pearce in the post-match press conference towards his old club. He said, and I quote, "It's a great feeling up here. I've never experienced this at club level before." Bit of a cloak and dagger shot at the old Roosters, isn't it, mate? I thought, I'm happy for you, Mitch, but fuck you.
Has he experienced it, that kind of feeling, above club level?
No, I mean, he's never won anything at rep level.
Okay.
Let's face it, he's played for the Blues.
Yeah.
That might be your point, Chip, is it?
It's pretty much
okay. Yeah,
where I was going with that. Okay. I mean, if you've never felt that way at this level, what other level do you mean?
Well, I think he's referring to never having the same kind of atmosphere and euphoria playing for the Roosters. I think he was saying the Knights are better than the Roosters. And for that, Mitch, I know you're not listening, but fuck you, mate. We made you who you are. Then we sacked you for who you were. I don't know what all that means, but fuck you.
Yeah, you're really not happy. I know you're not happy, and although I don't really share your venom, you know, I do understand where you're coming from. I just think it's not always easy to be a Rooster fan in the sense that, you know, having so many minor premierships, having to say we won a minor premiership, we got to sell some of them off. Yeah, get rid of them. I mean, what are they worth?
Could you trade in five minor premierships for a premiership?
Well, you'd have to ask Bellamy. You'd basically have to go around there and say, mate, please.
Yeah.
Please.
Meet him at the back alley in some kind of dodgy swap meet.
And you're back on the voluntary tackle. Now, Chip, former Queensland Premier Peter Beattie recently got himself into trouble during an interview with Phil Gould where he wasn't able to name which team represented Cronulla. Thankfully, the voluntary tackle has managed to secure an exclusive interview with Mr. Beattie. This is an excerpt of that interview via our roving reporter, Amanda Rhymes.
Mr. Beattie, thanks for joining us.
I'm sorry, you are?
I'm Amanda with the Voluntary Tackle.
Right.
We have an interview scheduled about the NRL.
Ah, yes, the AFL thing.
NRL.
Whatever.
Peter, we have to start with your recent interview with Phil Gould. Many fans were shocked that you didn't know who the Cronulla Sharks were.
Well, that's just nonsense. I'm a massive fan of the Illawarra Sharks.
It's the Cronulla Sharks.
Okay, well, now it's my time to be Mr. Details. Cronulla and Illawarra? I've already looked this up. They're different places. You should do your research, Cheryl.
It's Amanda. But no, I'm saying Cronulla are the Sharks.
Well, yeah, no, they have a few down there. Especially around the point of Cornell at dusk. Not sure what this has to do with the A-League, though.
The NRL.
Whatever.
Peter, the bottom line is the NRL fans want to know if you're up to the job of ARL chairman when you can't name a team that won the comp 2 years ago.
Look, I've been brought in because I'm a man who can make tough decisions, not remember every stupid little detail.
And what will be some of these tough decisions?
Well, axing the Illawarra Sharks, obviously.
Okay, well, Peter, thanks for chatting to the Voluntary Tackle.
Thanks, Mandy.
It's Amanda.
Are you sure? Mandy sounds much better.
Chip, it's come to that time in the show where we give our listeners a slice of some of our wisdom. They seek our sage counsel about who to tip for the next weekend's games. And we're going to start with the Sharks v the Dragons because, honestly, fuck knows. How can you pick that game?
Oh, that's a good question.
It's down there at Shark Park.
Okay. Look, off the top of my head, the first thing I would say is, what do you reckon?
Personally, I think it'll be a great game, this one. I think they're both genuine finals teams. But I think the Dragons showed enough last round for me to sort of back them in again for another win.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, psychologically, Sharks are coming off a pretty stinging loss to the Cowboys. They'll be hungry at home for a win. That always counts for something. But for me, I really like what I saw from the Dragons last week.
Okay, Dragons by how many points?
I'll probably go by 6.
Okay, so you're going to go by 6.
How do you see this game going?
Look, I've got to say, this is a tough one because I don't like the way the Sharks played. I didn't think they had a lot together, much cohesion. And you're quite right. Watching, I mean, We watched Dragons Brisbane, and Brisbane always a tough team to beat, and the Dragons really did a bit of a number on them, didn't they? They kind of, you know, Ben Hunt was really good.
Yeah, he was.
He was really good.
He slotted in there very nicely.
And he looked pretty good in black and red and white jersey. You know, it kind of suited him.
I think it definitely suited his skin complexion. Yeah,
yeah, that's right, because he's a bit splotchy. Okay, I'll go with the Dragons, but I'll go with Dragons by 8. I'll go by a bit more.
Now, with a little bit of bias, we're coming into our team, which is the Roosters taking on the Bulldogs on Friday night. Roosters still raging hot favourites despite their performance. As a Roosters fan, I'm worried about this one. We'll need to play a hell of a lot better to win.
Well, you did say, you know, the Bulldogs played great and lost by, what, 18 points. So yeah.
They did play the Storm, though, let's face it.
They did. Look, this is going to come back to whether we find any forwards this week. I'm just going to put it out there. If there are any bricklayers, if there are any labourers out there, you want a job change. You know how to catch a ball, and you know you're okay with instructions. Please give Trent a ring. Just give us a go, mate.
Do you think Teddy's hands will be better this week?
Look, I'm not gonna write him off first game of his new club because I think that might be a little bit rash. But I would like to see him. I'd like to see him score a try because I think that would kind of get rid of some of those cobwebs and a bit of that doubt.
That'd justify the millions if he just scored that one try.
Well, it'd go away to starting to justify. I mean, look, let's be honest, Nick's not short of millions. I'm going to go, I'm a little bit of a sentimentalist here, so I'll go, you know what? I know you're going to tip the Roosters. And I part of me just wants to tip the Dogs. So I'm going to tip the Bulldogs.
Okay.
I'm going to tip the Bulldogs by 4.
Interesting tip. You're quite right, Chip. I'm going to tip the Roosters to bounce back because they were so heavily maligned last week and they can't get worse. But I'm not particularly confident about it, but I will go the Roosters by 4. The next game we have is the Broncos taking on the Cowboys. This will be in Brisbane. Now, typically these two teams have played out the best games of the modern era against each other, save up their best performances for each other. But I just get the sense that won't happen this time. I don't think the Broncos are up to it. What do you think?
Cowboys by 14 for me.
I think the Cowboys will win. They were a bit clunky last week, but the Broncos were far clunkier, so I'm going to go Cowboys by 10. Next game on the list is the Warriors v. the Titans over in New Zealand. How do you see that game going, Chip?
Well, this is an interesting one. You know, the Warriors, they did get off to a good start. They'll be on a roll. They are at home. And the Titans, you know, yeah, okay, they won. They won by 2 points. They weren't really that impressive. I think it's early to talk about form, but on form, I'm going to go the Warriors by 10 points.
I'm inclined to agree with you, Chip. I think while I was pretty happy for the Titans to win up there against Canberra, I did think it was a bit of a score-a-thon, and I'm not sure what that kind of game benefits you. The Warriors, look, the jury's always out about the Warriors, but they are at home, so I'm going to have to back them in by 6.
Okay.
Next game on the card, Chip, is the Panthers v. the Bunnies. Oh, it'd be pretty tough to back the Bunnies in here, wouldn't it?
Well, you say that, but, you know, I mean, if Greg Inglis moves in a position, or he's actually up to, if he can jog, if we can just get him to a jog, not like a full trot.
Yeah, somewhere, you know, between a canter and a trot.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, just
not a gallop.
Not a gallop, nowhere near a gallop. No, no, you know, keep David out of it.
Yep.
But I do think that, you know, just a healthy jog. He might be able to throw a pass. They might be able to do something. You know, he could really win the game for him, but it's not going to happen, and the Panthers are going to win.
I love your spiel where you go on and on, but you're not going to back him.
No. I'm going to go Panthers by 8.
Oh, I think the Panthers, they might do them by a margin here. I just get a feeling.
Are you going to go for the points on it?
Yeah, I think they'll probably, I get the feeling they might do them by about 20.
20 points?
Yeah,
wow.
I just had that feeling. I don't know if the Bunnies didn't
show
a lot.
How much is sports bet paying on 20?
I don't know. I'll have to look it up after
plus,
the show.
18 plus.
Plus they have no Adam Reynolds because, of course, he's injured because he's
always
injured.
You see, that might help.
Maybe. He's a good player when he's there.
He's a good player, but he's a bit soft.
Well, his knees are.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
He's a bit, you know, like...
Yeah. He's very weak marrow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a problem for a rugby league player.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. You really want a decent patella.
Poor old Adam, he doesn't have any of those. So, in his place, this is an interesting story, Chip. The tallest halfback to have ever played the game. I think he's 6'3", and he played for Lebanon in the last World Cup. Bit of a goer. He's coming in to fill at number 7. And the really funny angle to this story is Robbie Farah still not making the team.
Isn't that classic? So you've got a frontline halfback out and Robbie Farah's still warming that bench.
Well,
that
he's, bench. Not even, he's not even warming the bench. He's not making the 17.
Oh, I'm sorry. I should say he's like warming the seats. Like
for the bench players.
Behind the bench. You know, like when you go back, wives and family and stuff like, does he get to sit there or has
I
he been like dropped from...
He's warming Bay 13.
Yeah, he's a starting observer.
Yeah, he's like a number one fan at this point.
Yeah,
you know, sort of one of those fans you kind of get a bit, you have a bit of a bad feeling about, like they might stalk your children. Bit of a problem. But the next game, the Storm versus the Tigers. Now the Tigers riding high, I should say, after upsetting the Roosters. They go down to Melbourne on Billy Slater's 300th game. You'd have to say...
You've got to pick him, don't you, the Tigers?
You're going to pick the Tigers?
You've got to pick him, don't you? Well, here's why. There's just no way I can see the Tigers winning. I can't see him travelling to Melbourne and winning. And so I've kind of got to go for that. I don't know, it's a bit counterintuitive. Mm. But I just can't see how Melbourne going to lose that. And that makes me think, well, they probably will.
Okay.
Yeah, and then fall off. from there.
I like the way your predictions come with future predictions beyond the predictions.
Yeah, I've got to explain myself somehow.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to your round 14 tips in a moment. But for me, it's the Storm. I think the Storm were ominously good against the Bulldogs. And I think it'll be too much for the Tigers. But who knows? The Tigers could give them a run. Benji Marshall playing great footy. They had their backline performed really well. Urson Masters in the centres. I'd never heard of him. He had a great game against the Roosters. And there was a couple of key forwards there that just had big games. So Tigers, they may not be in for the tough treatment that everyone was predicting them to have in 2018. But I think the Storm will be too good.
How many points?
10.
So you're going Melbourne by 10?
Yeah.
I'll go Melbourne by 2.
I thought you were tipping the Tigers.
Yeah, I changed my mind.
All right, the next game on the card, we've got the Eagles versus the Eels. Now, these guys, interesting rivalry. It tends to end up in fisticuffs, or at least when you could biff. These days, it just ends up in a really harsh mellow.
I think this is the problem when you have too many E's.
Pretty much,
In the game. Yeah. You know, people get lovey-dovey and then they get violent.
100%. Too many E's. Chappelle Corby can tell you all about that. But I think, interesting
one. You still got a number?
Not anymore, mate, no. Now, the Eagles, interesting, the Eels in this rivalry have the edge over the Eagles in recent times. They tend to have a pretty good record against them. This will be at Brookie, though, on a Sunday.
Yeah,
predictions?
I think you've convinced me. I'll go the Eagles by 4.
Eagles by 4. I think this will be a very tight game. I think the Eels will be smarting from their loss against the Panthers. So I think the Eels will get them, but not by much. And the interesting thing about the Eels as well, Chip, is they've still got no Clint Gutherson, and I think Gutherson was their best player last year. I think when he returns, he'll ignite them into another level. But until that time, they've just got to ride out the Storm.
If the Eels win, how many points do they win by?
I think they'll win by 6.
Okay.
And the last game on the card, we've got Raiders taking on the Knights, Mitchell Pearce's mob. For me, this is probably one of the biggest coin flips of the round, but I just had the sense that the Knights we'll do it again in another, potentially another golden point.
Well, funny you say that. I've just written down the Knights by 1.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go the Knights by 1 as well, and I'm going to go Mitchell Pearce to kick 2 game-winning field goals in 2 weeks.
Has that been done before?
Probably, but definitely not by Mitch, because that would be a career total.
That's like more points than he's maybe put together in a while.
Well, thanks for listening to The Voluntary Tackle. It's been fun. I hope you found it informative and entertaining and a little bit titillating, but not too offensive. But a little bit offensive.
It was definitely tippilating.
Was it tippilating? Yeah. I don't even know what that means.
Well, we put our tips in.
Chip, bold prediction for next week, outside of the who's going to win and lose. Do you have any sort of crazy theories about what's going to happen?
I think... I think the Roosters may actually have to bus in some forwards from rugby union. I think we might see some mauls and rucks next week.
That'd be nice.
At
least it'd be a bit of action.
Bit of go forward. I think the problem would be the defensive line at the lock's feet.
For the record, I actually think, it's a weird prediction, I think Mitch Rain, who is the now substitute hooker for the Gold Coast Titans, will have another strong game. I think he's a highly underrated player. He came on last week and had a blinder. Good on you, Mitch. Nobody rates you, but I do. But until next time, just do what Peter Beattie would do and fuck it all up.